Welcome to the Engineer-ish, or as we like to say, Engineer minus the ish.
Wait, are we taking the ish out or are we putting it in?
Girl, you don't have to ask me that question no more. I'm putting it in.
Still the most unique math problem we've been puzzled by, solved, and revisited throughout our journey as engineers. I'm LaTori.
And it's your boy, Drew.
Welcome, welcome, welcome
to the
Engineer-ish.
The Engineer-ish now in session.
All right, so we're just going to hop right into our part two episode with Sean Stewart. As you guys probably remember from last couple weeks ago, he was such an amazing guest that we've been blessed to have on our episode. So he's such a talented artist, such a amazing and innovative engineer. And he's just telling us a little bit about how he's infused his artistry into engineering. So let's pick up where we left off.
So I have a question, because I feel like your work is damn near perfect. So just talk to us a little bit about how you've sharpened your skills and like what type of resources you've used to go from good to great.
Gotcha. I think my approach on sharpening my skill set is more so, it's really repetition based. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like anything else. You work a muscle out for so mm-hmm. long, it's gonna grow. It's gonna do what you want it to do. And that's really what it was for me. Like, I thought about going and taking courses at a local community college, picking up some different techniques and stuff like that. But I'm not gonna lie, I found more enjoyment in not knowing those things and being able to create on that level at the same time.
Okay.
I don't know about you guys, I'm a religious man. You know, I love God, I'm a Christian. And yeah. I feel something that he has just for me, you know what I'm saying? This is why the things happen the way they happen. This is why the paint comes out the way it comes out. It's mm-hmm. because it's the gift that he's given to me. So my biggest part of preparation is, I guess, learning to accept that gift and not squander it, and making sure that I continue to nurture it in any way that I possibly can. I mean, like, I've got somewhere around 50 different art books in my room right now.
Oh, wow.
A whole YouTube column of reference techniques and stuff like that. I just, like, and I promise you guys, this is no lie. Anytime I've ever tried to step outside of myself and get, you know, gain knowledge from different artists, or, you know, try to, I don't know, be a sponge somewhere, try to pick up different things and stuff like that, it's mm-hmm. never happened for me. Mm-hmm. It's never happened. I've never had an opportunity to sit down with an established artist and learn how to do certain things, or figure out how this goes, or learn the business side of things. It's always been on me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've always been in a position to motivate myself and to get myself to that next level. And for me, it's all about repetition. So the more and more I paint, the more and more I create, the better it comes out every time. The better it looks, you know what I'm saying? The more the colors are there, the more colors are in it, the more vibrant it is, all that type of stuff. But it's you can't put it down, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't put down what you're trying to pick up. That makes no sense. You got to pick it up more. You pick it up more, and you pick it up more, and you pick it up more until you're to a point where you're trying to figure out ways to make yourself grow, to make yourself uncomfortable within that. And for me, that's like painting landscape and cows and fruit and animals and, you know, like boring museum side of art. That's what that is for me. I'm trying to learn how to incorporate that into the things, you know, the subject matter that I love, to make it more of a complete piece, you know what I'm saying, where you can pull from different parts of that piece, pull different narratives and wrap all that shit up and want to buy it.
Yeah.
I love that. And it's like they used to tell us when we were younger, practice makes perfect. And that's pretty much, you know, what it is. So I just love that you said that. And I'm just going to share something with you guys, with the audience. I recently picked up drawing and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of embarrassed to send it to Sean, because like, what if he thinks this is trash? But I'm like, I'm kind of like proud of it. So at least I'll preface the conversation by saying I haven't drawn in years, But I sent him something and he said something positive. So I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't bad. Maybe I'll still continue to practice. But
you already there, because artists, we're our biggest critics. Like, for you know sure. what I'm saying? A lot of my earlier work, like from right when I started painting, I was just giving it away. Like I wouldn't for money for it. I was like, hey, you know, I did this last night. You want it? Yes. You know what I'm saying? But it's all about drive, man. It's more mental. For me, it's more mental conditioning than it is like physical. You know, I'm going to do it because I love to do it, but I have to mentally push myself to jump outside of myself to be better.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I gotta ask you a question, man. Cause I like, when I hear you kind of talk about working out that muscle, it reminded me of a Crit interview. And I know you had an opportunity to work with him. And he kind of talks about his creative process or whatever. And like, you know, to make a 12 track album, he talks about how he makes 100+ songs. Right. And in doing that, then he takes the time to like break it down. You know what I'm saying? Now I got 50 songs. Now I got my top 25 out those 50. And eventually, you know, he gets down to whatever the album may be. So I'm interested kind of how some of you guys' conversations just went, just about like honing your craft, you know what I'm saying? What you guys have kind of put in, and kind of some of the similarities that you guys kind of have. Cause I feel like anybody who is really pushing for that level of success kind of has that commitment to whatever their craft is.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing, that because I had a conversation with him, cause I'm a Crit fan too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had a conversation with him, and there's one thing that we agreed on is blinders. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different distractions out there, you know, romantic distraction, financial distraction, all these different distractions that are out there that can and will intertwine in your creative process. And I feel like he told me, you know, when he creates, he has to create in a vacuum. I gotta create in a vacuum too. Like, I can't be under the influence of anything. I can't have somebody that I'm not comfortable with in the room. I got to create in a vacuum so I'm alone with my thoughts, you know, so I can really collect them and, you know, group them. Like you said, out of 100, he's looking for 12 that mean the same thing, you know, that kind of create a continuous narrative throughout the album.
Right.
Keep you engaged. And, you know, that's how it is for me when I paint. I can't have too much going on. Can't be drunk, you know. None of that, because I actually am terrible creative when I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
Creating in a vacuum and like having a different level of passion for what you're creating. Not necessarily that you're creating, but for what you're creating. Like it has to mean something to you before it can mean anything to anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to believe in you unless you believe in yourself first.
Yeah.
So it was just dope to have, to be able to trade energy with him and trade conversation and see where his mindset was and, you know, kind of how he got his start and what made him want to continue to pursue that. Because it was really similar to me. A lot of that stuff for him, it was like more so doing it on a continuous basis and doing it at a level where you're not necessarily being challenged by the art, but you're challenging yourself to be better at the art.
Yeah.
Yourself, instead of just, you know, going for, I don't know that much rap lingo, but going for bars, you know what I'm saying? But okay, you can go for bars and you can snap, but what is the content? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying, what's important out of, what are people supposed to pull out of your word? You know what I'm saying? The importance there. So it was like mind blowing just to be standing in front of dude and handing him a picture I painted him of him. And he like that. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, Drew's a big fan, a big Crit. So that's how I actually introduced you to Drew, introduced Drew to you. Cause I'm like, you know what? I know you love Big Crit. I'm gonna share something. I was like, I think it's amazing. And he was blown away. He was a fan.
Yeah, that's all I needed to see. That's all I needed to see. Like, because I feel like when you connect with people, like, and you know, when you feel that like energy, like it's always a spark. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you like it's like I always think about that you know, the classic statement: real recognize real. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's one of those things where it's like, oh, like you on your grind, you know what I'm saying? Like you're going through that process of honing your craft and building your skills and envisioning like what you want to create for your future. And we're like, when you see other people that's like that, you recognize that in other people.
Right. Now that's facts. That's facts. It's you know, it's immediately recognized within each other. You know what I'm saying? Cause he asked me like, well, why did you pick this? You know, why'd you pick this picture?
Yeah.
That's when I picked you up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's when you started to mean what you mean to me now. That's where it began. So, you know, I could have caught you where you are now and the level of success you are now, but I was, you know, I was dealing with you when you had, you know, you had a haircut, then you had the Kobe Pro, you know.
Yeah.
The hottie, you was next level to me when you had the Kobe Pro. That's when I was like, okay, Crick can do no wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, like just I guess just putting that type of thought and energy into, you know, whatever it is you're doing, there's no way that it won't show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's no way it won't show.
That's amazing. Now I'm gonna ask either you or Drew, I'm passing the baton to either one of y'all, but just explain who Big Crit is, because my grandma listens to this podcast and I know she'll probably ask me, like, he talked about somebody named Crit. Who is that? So just where he's from, who, just one of y'all, just give a little bit of a, who is Big Crit?
I take this one, G. I just took a whole lot. I'll let you take it.
All right, man. So, I mean, Crit is a Southern rapper, like from Mississippi, but he has a lot of ties to Houston. And so like a lot of times, like when you hear his rap, it might make you think about like Bun B, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And some of the other rappers like from Texas and things like that. But he's like, he's not only like lyrical, but when you listen to his music, like the stories that he tell to me, like connect with you as a human being. Like it's almost like you're sitting down and having a conversation with him. And his name, like Crit, King Remembered in Time, is what Crit stands for. Like,
yeah, you know that.
Yeah, yeah. And so like it, and when you take that and then tie that to his music, it like adds another level of complexity to the things that he's talking about and sharing, you know what I'm saying? Like, so to me, like I've never met the guy, but I feel like I know him, you know what I'm saying? Like, because of my connection with his music, you know what I mean? Like, it's like we already, you know what I'm saying? We could kick it any day, even though he's never sat in my living room ever, you know what I'm saying? Like, so that's how I would describe, you know what I'm saying, Big Crit. And I would say, Grandma, when you get a chance, you know what I'm saying, go ahead, just, you can just put it on shuffle, you know what I'm saying? You're going to come across at least a few songs, you know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, okay, Bury Me in Gold. Okay, I'm with that. I like that. Okay.
Thank you. You took the work away from me because I know she will be asking me. So, and then for anybody that doesn't, you know, not everybody knows every artist. So that just tells you a little bit about who Big Crit is.
Check it out, man. You'll learn something. I can promise you that.
Check out Big Crit. So I got a question for you, and I'm going to blend a little bit of your engineering skills with your creative skills. So when you're painting, how do you use your engineering skills when you're creating? You know, as an IE, we think of efficiency. How can I do this? You know, not necessarily like just faster, but like smarter and more efficient. Like, you know, so I know you probably use some of those skills when you're creating and when you're painting. So just speak a little bit to what skills you use and how they've helped you as an artist.
Like, you know, once you get to a certain point in art, you know, just like anything else, it's all beautiful work. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Beautiful work from all the top artists. Everybody's creating at an extremely high level. So, you know what I'm saying? It all gets considered beautiful artwork. Mm-hmm. So then you start to have to consider the other moving parts of that creative process. And one of those is efficiency. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Efficient you can be because, you know, people create for different reasons. And, you know, some people create, they're not looking to be efficient. They don't care what anybody thinks about it. They're doing it because they want to. I care about the message that I, you know, the message and the mark that I leave on my artwork on any level. So regardless if it's a commission painting of somebody's grandmother that passed away mm-hmm. or, you know, a Shaq busting a basketball with his hand, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I want to create that efficiently and use is the least amount of time that I need to create at that level. So that, but that's something I picked up from, you know, some artists that I actually look up to. It's how quickly you can do it. So I actually took about 2 weeks out. I was saying it was about like 2 or 3 months ago. Uh-huh. And I started creating it and I started timing myself on creating, because when you create with commissions and stuff like that, it's all about how quickly you can get them out. You know what I'm saying? So you get somebody's grandma out, you get a wedding photo out, you get all these different paintings out. It's how quickly you can get them out. And mm-hmm. everybody that same level, that same high level of creating, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Trying to teach myself or trying to figure out different ways that I could create on that level quickly as possible, so I can move on to the next person. You know what I'm saying? So I figured out, okay, I don't really need this part of the process. I don't need to necessarily, you don't necessarily need to brown the canvas. A lot of people, it's called, you know, brown the canvas because you just don't want to start from a stark white background, because that stark white, it pushes through your colors. Mm-hmm. So figured out I can still create, let's say, for instance, if I'm painting somebody's face, I can still create their skin without using that browning process. I can just use a base layer and that will act as my browning. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then I build my values of my, you know, the values of contrast up and down from that base layer. So you don't, that white background doesn't push through my colors, and you get, you know, if it's supposed to be dark, if it's supposed to be brown back there, if it's, I don't know, a tornado, sky is green, blue, you'll see those colors push forward because I use the technique in which I create or whatever. But I started to time myself creating that way, removing the browning process, removing different brushes from the creative process as well, and the different techniques that come along with those different brushes, because it's so intricate. You know what I'm saying? Different brushes do different things. And I figured I can use 3 brushes to create the entire piece, and I can use 3 colors to create this entire piece. These 3 colors, you know, mix and make this color. These 2 colors mix and make that color. So you don't need 6 different colors. You don't need 6 different cans of paint. You don't need brushes. You don't need to meticulously do all these things that are, you know, that are taught institutionally when you're creating.
And that's spoken like a true industrial engineer. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking. That's so industrial right there.
he broke down his process. He put all the elements down that, you know, that were necessary, and he streamlined the process. And that's exactly what we do as engineers and as industrial engineers. So just hearing you using that IE mindset, I feel like that gives you such more of a, like a leg up in the game, because I mean, mm-hmm. you're really learning, like, okay, this is the timing behind it. This is what I can take out, but you're not sacrificing quality to, like, you know, streamline your process, of course. So that's dope. Really dope.
I want to create at a high level, and I want to create with a certain velocity, and I'm not even gonna lie to you, a certain like ferociousness too. Like I don't want to see my work and they say, okay, it looks like it took you a week to do that. I want them to see my work and think it took me 3 months to do it, and it did only take me a week to do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
what I want. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting off subject with this, but you know, I feel like going to school for it and, you know, studying it and stuff like that is great, because it kind of gives you a certain foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? With all the subtle nuances of being a creative, even outside of creating, when it comes to the business portion of things, when it comes to making relationships with different galleries and, you know, all this different stuff. But like, it's, you know, kind of like the same reason I didn't want to go up to marketing. It's too structured for me. You know, mm-hmm. Structurally, but I don't want to be in a structure, you know, I don't want to do that in a structured environment.
Mm-hmm. And makes sense.
Be, you know, and be held within those confines of creativeness, because it's all art. Art has no rules. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
I just, you know, I figure out the best way. I didn't even know what technique I've been using. You know what I'm saying? I started
using my technique. That's the one I'm using.
I was going about it in a way that made sense to me, you know what I'm saying, as far as what I thought I should be doing. And one day I was working on this piece. It was a personal piece, It was of a little boy drinking out of a river. Mm-hmm. And his skin, like his skin, I don't know if, you know, over in those third world countries, you know what I'm saying? They got that rich melanin, but it kind of has like a, I don't want to say ash, like in that ash, it kind of has that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's all imagery rooted in his environment.
Uh-huh. Anyway,
so I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to paint this ashy back without it looking just, you know, like a big ashy back. I got a little bit on my brush, and I didn't put a bunch on there, but I just put enough on there for it to be, you know, to start to show up over top of the colors I already had laying down. And, you know, I started doing it. I was like, okay, this is starting to turn out dope. And that was actually the foundation of my creative process now. That's exactly how I still paint now. Mm-hmm. I've just evolved, you know, it's evolved since I've started, you know, since I started doing it and creating every day and every day and every day after that. But it's a technique called dry stroking. It's called dry strokes. So you lay your base color down. It's almost to the effect of rust. You know how over top of a solid color, oxidation. It's not really something that you can, like, I don't know, if you paint it solidly, it's going to look orange or
right.
But if you kind of give it a light dusting over top of the color, you still can see the color behind it, mm-hmm. and you still get the imagery of the actual color you're trying to lay over top of that as well. So that's actually helped me a lot. In my process, as far as just for that is my process. That's all I do because it feels good and my work turns out, you know, the way it turns out. So I'm gonna keep doing it like this. But.
The Sean technique, it works. Yeah. Can't argue with that. So we're both gonna ask you one more question because I know we've taken up a good amount of your time and we definitely do appreciate the time you're spending with us. So we will just kind of wrap up and ask you one more question because we could be here all day with you, Sean.
Go ahead, Tori. I'll let you go first, man. Do us the honors.
Okay, all right.
My final question, I'm just like, man, I have like five more. How can I streamline this question all into one? So let's see. Tell us, unless you give a Shaq as an answer, I'll ask another question. But what's your most difficult piece of work? And tell us why and how you push past any uncertainty or doubt when you are working through it. If it's a Shaq answer, then I know we can go to something else. The Shaq painting.
Probably the most difficult piece that I've ever painted. It was actually a piece I had seen, you know, you start to gain certain admiration for different artists because you see them creating in a certain way and in a certain light that you want to create. And so I'm actually following this artist, a guy by the name of Manessa, and he had painted this Marvin Gaye, right? He didn't even paint it. He's actually a prism color pencil artist or whatever. And I was just like, yo, like, well, this is when I first started. I'm like, what did he do to, you know what I mean, to get it to look like that, to make it look stick? That's color pencil? Like, how? This is absolutely nuts. I would never be able to do that, you know what I'm saying? And fast forward probably 3 years later, 4 years later, actually, I was looking to challenge myself in a way that I hadn't challenged myself before and, you know, create on a scale too. Scaling was something that I needed to challenge myself at being better at as well, being able to create on a bigger scale. Mm-hmm. So you can do murals and stuff like that. So biggest painting I had did to that date, I think it was like 36 by 48 inches. It's like roughly, what, I'm a 3 by 4 or 5 feet by 4, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the exact same image that he did. And I'm not going to do it because I'm trying to copy him. I'm going to do it because I'm trying to challenge myself to push my art to that level. And that's where my Marvin, I changed some elements of the image so it wouldn't look, you know, like his, but he definitely inspired me to create that Marvin Gaye piece because the Marvin Gaye piece, it had so many different layered elements into it. Like there was reflection, creating reflection within is hard. Like in a metallic surface that's not you know, primed and shined. So it's kind of like a blurry image coming out of that reflective metallic image. That was something I had never did. The point of view, not the point of view, but I'm trying to think of how to say it. The way that he's sitting on the ground, it gives you the thought that somebody's laying on the ground taking his picture from his boots up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see.
So, I can't think of the word right now, but just creating not just head, you know, front on.
Yeah.
Like being able to create from different angles and, you know, give people that narrative to draw from why you're creating it from this and what that means. So when you see my painting, his boots are the star of that painting because his boots are the biggest part of him in that painting, just from the view that the camera angle is at.
Uh-huh. And
that was also another important part to me that I wanted to, address in my creative process and kind of grow on so I could utilize that in different avenues and facets of how I want my subjects' bodies to contort and, you know, what this means, what this shoulder blade means, what the neck, you know, the neck rub, all that. I wanted to be able to create on that level. So that was another big part of that. And, you know, I just really loved how the different colors played on each other in that painting too, because, you know, this is the 70s. So that that era brings a different color palette than 2022 does. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
And it's all in the clothes they wear, the way they carry themselves, the photography, the different camera lenses that were used at the time, the different film, all these different things that play into all these moving parts that play into that era. And I wanted to be able to show that through my, you know, I wanted that to shine through the painting as well.
And so, I have a picture with that painting. You remember that?
I do. You stole it.
So you got to tell them where they can find that. And let me tell the story. Like I went to I went to a museum in African American Music Museum in Nashville. And so I was looking, you know, listening to the music, you know, doing all that. And then so there was an artist wall. And I'm like, wait a minute, that painting looks real familiar. And I told my friend, I'm like, I know who painted that. And she was like, really? Like, that's so random. I'm like, yeah. I was like, it's this dude, Sean. He painted that. I was like, he put it on Instagram. I was like, I know that's his work. So I had a picture by it and I felt like, I don't know, that was a special moment. I sent it to Sean.
Like, I was like, wait a minute. Because I hadn't even been to see the piece hanging yet. So it felt like crap on top of that. But I was like, yo, this is so dope. This is so crazy. Me and Tori, we keep like our paths cross in that random nature.
Yeah.
So random.
On each other. Like when I first moved to Atlanta, I was walking in the mall and I'm walking. And like Tori walks past me and I look back and she looks back and was like, hey, we know each other. Random dance like that or whatever.
Cumberland Mall. Yeah, Cumberland Mall.
Wow. That's
all
crazy.
Right, Drew. I'll let you ask your last question.
All right. So this is I already knew my question. I ain't got five. I got one. I know exactly what it was, man. So like one of the things that like when I first started looking at your art, like that really stood out to me is I feel like all your paintings do such a good job of telling a story, right? It's even though it's a painting, like it doesn't feel like a painting. Like it's like, this is like a book, you know what I'm saying? It don't have pages, but it got pages, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm curious kind of like, what do you envision for your future? You know what I'm saying? Like what is your story or what does your art, you know, tell, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Like, where does it kind of go from here?
As far as where I want my art to go, I honestly just wanted to reach the ends of the earth. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I want to go back around and, you know, kind of slap me in the back of the head because, you know, it's my full rotation. that's really, you know, financial gain from it is beautiful. It's always amazing to have a different finance coming in. But I just really want to be able to get my artwork out there for the world to see. You know, I want people to be able, because... And that's kind of why I'm a portrait artist mainly. It's because I think we as people are so beautiful, but not in, you know, the sense that society wants us to think about it. Like, I did a painting of this old man sitting in front of, I actually went into the liquor store, and this old man was sitting in front of the liquor store. And I just looked at him. I was like, I got to paint this dude. It just like, it just hit my spirit to paint him. So I'm like, yo, can I take your picture on and be weird? I'm going to tell you why I'm taking your picture. Buy me a pint and we got a deal. So I went in, I bought him a pint of E&J.
The Erkin jerk too, boy.
And, you know, he let me snap a bunch of pictures of him or whatever. But I just feel like us, as what makes us so beautiful as humans is that all of our stories are so different. And most of the time, you can pull that narrative off of somebody's face. You know what I mean? Stars, the wrinkles, the smiles, you know, arch of an eyebrow, you know what I'm saying? Like the glint in somebody's eyes when they're looking at you, the direction that their eyes are, if they're up, they're down, you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
So easy to pull narratives from us as humans because we've all been through so many things. But what makes us beautiful is we've been through different things. Mm-hmm. So nobody knows what you've been through, you know what I'm saying? And that shapes you to who you, for you to be who you are now. And that's all over your face. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
It's all over. So people can look at you and pull a narrative from you, not necessarily to judge you, but, you know, make sure, you know, like kind of, you know, if you look at somebody, you're like, okay, this person looks inviting. They look happy. They look content.
Yeah.
They look like life is good for them. And you look at somebody else, you know what I'm saying? He's got wrinkles. He's got scars. He's scouring, you know, he's had a hard life. I wonder what life was about, you know what I'm saying? And that gets people's wheels going. And you know what I'm saying? That's a big thing for me. I like for my viewer to be able to have that type of that intimate conversation with my piece. That conversation is going to be between them and my piece because they're drawing their own narrative from my work.
Yeah, yeah. I'm done. That was it. Like, that was a perfect, real, perfect answer, like, man. I think we just got the title to the episode too, man. It's all on your face. It's all on your face, man. Like,
oh, that's like the perfect ending shot. And I feel like we have nothing else to do. Like, you ended that in a perfect note. That's like it. Everybody's face has a story, and it's like, you know, I think that's a big part of creativity.
So beautiful,
just being able to create from something that you see and be able to tell a story through your artwork. So we thank you so much for joining
us. You without a doubt
been one of our most favorite guests, and you just dropped a lot of gems all throughout. So thank you so much for hopping on with us, and hopefully we'll have you back soon.
Yeah, man.
Y'all let me know when y'all want me to pull back up. Team IE, we out.
And then just lastly, can you tell the listeners where to find you if they want to see some of your good work? We'll leave some links on this episode so you guys can see just how amazing his work is. But just give him your
write
social.
Write my man's a check. Write him a check.
Yeah, if you want to buy some artwork.
Two or three websites, man. All I got is right now. I'm actually getting a website worked on right now because I had one, I kind of let it go and it kind of got outdated looking. So I got somebody working on it now. But as of right now, man, it's just my Instagram and my Facebook, man. You know, that's how I'm working. People, I'll just put it out there for as many people to see. Social media is such a influential part of being human now. So I feel like for right now, that's good enough for me. So you can check me out on my IG, which is the number one, they call Stu, S-T-U. Or my Facebook, Sean, S-H-A-W-N, Stu, S-T-U, Stuart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T.
Well, you heard it, guys. Perfect. So go follow Sean, see his amazing, breathtaking artwork.
Yeah.
And again, we thank you, Sean.
Absolutely, hey, my brother.
I'm going to talk to you now.
All right.
All right. All right.